Thanks be to God. It's amazing how we have two images very much the same from an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament follower of Jesus stuck on an island, not certain of his fate. In Isaiah, we have this promise of this place, this holy mountain of God where we can feast, and God will tear away the shroud, tear away that which has corrupted the world, that death will be no more. And just when we think that that promise will not be fulfilled because Christ dies on the cross, this very last book in the Bible reiterates that same promise. We're given the vision of a man who is on an island facing his death. A man who should be in that place of despair receives a vision of such hope, of a new Jerusalem. Every time we wonder, is heaven all about someplace else? We need to listen to this passage and the passage from Isaiah, that God has not given up on that which he has created, that which is earth and that which is human beings, that God will come and dwell amongst his people. But in the meantime, we are waiting. We are waiting in a world where there is death, where there is devastation, and where there is disease. And many of us this past week may have even wanted to echo the words of Motel from Fiddler on the Roof as they had packed up and were leaving and being caused to be evicted from their village. And he turns to his rabbi and he says, "We have been waiting a long time for the Messiah to come. Wouldn't now be a good time for him to come?" And the rabbi's response was, "We just have to wait someplace else. We just have to wait someplace else." And instead of working in our waiting, we do this kind of strange thing. We continue to look at when that will come. We try to project into the future not the coming of the New Jerusalem, but the coming of the end of the world. Now, I haven't seen all of the movie 2012, but I've been told that this movie about the prediction of the Mayans begins with the flooding of New York City. And then just this past week, we had New York City flooded. So I imagine those people looking for the end of the world are going to say, "See, it's beginning. See, it's beginning." And think about what happens when we do that. Our focus shifts away from the God who can make all things possible to destruction and devastation and the end of the world. We move from hope to despair. And we understand storms. We knew about Hugo and Floyd. We experienced them here. We knew about Andrew and Isabel and Katrina. And before I move on to this Superstorm Sandy, I just want us to remember one thing about Katrina as we look at the issues we're facing with Sandy. 1,200 reported deaths happened in Katrina. 1,200 reported deaths. And as we move to this superstorm now in New York City, Sandy, that came in ways we didn't expect, we can face the reality of the deaths and the destruction and the financial recovery that it will be, or we can look at the heroes. The 11-year-old girl who set up an internet cafe in New Jersey because people needed to charge their cell phones so they could tell their loved ones they were okay. We can look at either the abusers in the midst of recovery or we can look at the heroes who bring help to the victims. How we choose to focus, either we focus on the hope and the light and the realization that God is not giving up on His created world, or we can focus on the bad. And mind you, the media will do that for us. We're going to hear more stories of death and destruction and abusers throughout the whole series of recovery. But we have to remember, there are families still recovering from Hugo, from Floyd, from Isabel, from Katrina. And there will be families recovering from Sandy for a whole decade or more. In our waiting, we long for the future that God is preparing for us. We can be motel, calling out to God, isn't now a good time for Christ to come again, for that holy city of Jerusalem to come down upon us, so that death can be no more, and disease can be no more, and mourning and grieving can be no more, because it is difficult to believe in the earth's salvation and the earth's redemption when we see the destruction that nature brings. It is better and easier to see that God's holy mountain is a place other than earth. But that's not what Isaiah says this morning. What Isaiah tells us this morning, he says, He will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations, not just some nations, all nations, and He will swallow up death forever. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Brothers and sisters, whenever we get to that place of despair, we need to remember that vision of God's holy mountain, that we can, that God's promise is that He will come and death will be no more. He is the destroyer of death. And as Revelation tells us this morning, the first things have passed away. The first things is a world that has been created with sin within it. And when that has passed away and the new Jerusalem is here, death, destruction, and disease will be no more. But yet we live in a time of waiting when there is death, devastation, and disease. So where do we turn in those times of despair? Because wouldn't now be a good time for Him to come? Well, we turn to the Scriptures. We turn to where we can find that word of hope. And then we find that gospel message this morning, that gospel message of the resurrection of Lazarus. Imagine that family. Imagine their place of grief. We are here celebrating those who have gone before. We know the grief of losing the ones we love. And they were there in that sharp moment, days before He had died. And they were there grieving that loss. And Christ came, and what did Christ do? He wept with them. So even now, when our loved ones are not being raised from the dead as we want them to be, we know that here in this place, in this grief, Christ is here, grieving with us. But then He does. He does that miraculous thing and raises Lazarus from the dead. And we get that foretaste of eternal life. But He says, unbind him and let him go. Think about that statement. Unbind him and let him go. What is it in our lives that binds us to death? What is it that we need to go to Jesus and say, unbind me, so that that which is holding me back will be let go? So that we can turn to the face of Satan and say, let me go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will be our shroud will disappear the way that of Lazarus did. But if we wonder about the unbinding, in the New Jerusalem, it is the unbinding of the world. Right now, in the grip of the world is sin, or sin has the world in its grip. And when Christ comes in that final victory, he will be saying to Satan, "Unbind it and let it go." Unbind it and let it go. Love wins, not death, not destruction, and not disease, and certainly not the liar of liars, Satan. God's promise will be fulfilled. There will be a new Jerusalem, and we will be feasting on that holy mountain, because it is on this mountain that the Lord of hosts will make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. Yet we live in a time of waiting, a time of death, a time of destruction, a time of disease, where we can choose to focus on death, on devastation, on disease, or we can choose to focus on the one who brings us life, on the one who heals, the one who prepares the feast, and in the midst of our own devastation, come to the table of the Lord and remember. Remember his promise to come, his promise to swallow up death forever, his promise to make all things new, to remember that when we gather at his table, we gather at his invitation. We gather with the heavenly hosts. All the saints that have gone before us, all the saints that are gathered here, all the saints yet to come. So come while we wait and taste and see and know the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. Open your hearts that the King of glory may come in and unbind you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the host. We are his guests. And he asks all that love him and earnestly seek repentance of their sins, seek to be unbound, to come and eat the bread and drink the cup. Come, share the feast. So let us bow before our host and let us pray in silence and ask for forgiveness for what we have done, for what we have left undone, and for failing to be the disciples Christ has called us to be. Let us pray. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And as we prepare this feast, we prepare ourselves with our hymn.